Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, and Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guest today is Sheila Audette, otherwise known as Astrology's Astrologer. She comes on this show the second Tuesday of every month. Next month, we have her coming to the show 12809. This evening we will be discussing James Arthur Ray and Michael Jackson. What a combination. And as well as everything else that comes to mind. So, without further ado, here is Joan Adams.
Hello,
hello, dear Joan.
Hello, Kate. What a combination. This should be very interesting.
You know what? That is hysterical. But I think that there's some similarities in the charts of the two of them. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. How's your computer before I go on? How's your,
it's
did it
hanging
crash?
On. I do not have a chat room at all, but I am on the phone and that counts.
That really does. It really, really does. Okay. Here is our dear astrologer's astrology. Astrology's astrologer. Hello, hi, Sheila.
Hi, that's a tongue twister.
Hello,
yeah.
Sheila.
Hi, dear Joan. How are you?
I'm excited to hear what you have to say tonight. You're going to educate me yet.
What, about them dancing together?
Oh,
Michael Jackson and James Earl Ray? James Arthur Ray, I said it again, James Earl.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
this is...
Yeah, I have to really watch that, you know, because that, it kind of comes out of your mouth because you think, you know...
I know, because we've known James Earl Ray for all of our lives, probably.
Yeah,
he's
notorious. I should run those charts together, right? Oh, that would be
My gosh, yeah. Well, I went to Sheila's house the other day, and we did some videos talking about James Arthur Ray. And I thought they were very, very dynamic. And
you all did a good job with that. You really did.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. That's good to hear that.
Thank you, Joan.
You
we appreciate it. Totally.
It's very
that.
Interesting looking at yourself talking.
Oh.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay. I won't go any further.
Well.
I'm just blown away by the dynamics of the Uranian energy, though, that you can sit at your place that you work and that a little tiny camera can come in and take a video, and then all of a sudden it's on YouTube. I mean, the breadth of the Uranian energy is just unbelievable right now. I mean, there is just no place to hide. I mean, every place is open, it seems. With YouTube and Twitter and Tweet and everything else, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I was very fortunate to do Rihanna's chart, the psychic girl from Australia.
Isn't she precious?
Very, very beautiful, and I thank you for that. It was very enlightening, and we had a great time. Now, we're into James Arthur Ray, okay? What I have done is I started to, after I work with a chart for a while, then I do what you call a composite chart. And a composite chart is that you take the time of the actual event and then you take a James Arthur Ray's planets and you divide by two to make the audience understand. And then what that does is bring it to a soul point, which it's called a midpoint in Uranian astrology. And we work a lot with midpoints around two different charts. So what it's called a composite chart. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But the composite chart brings up what the spiritual dynamic of the experience was. So basically, when we're looking at something and we ask, you know, what's going on here? And we ask the questions, you know, Brian, Katie, you know, all of the ones, is it true and is it absolutely true? And how do you react when, in a human form, we think about it? And who would you be without that thought? And then I work on turning it around into, you know, the questions are, you know, a lot of the therapeutic questions, and it is what is wrong with that person and what caused him to do this and how, you know, how can he, what kind of a problem does he have? So those are kind of the therapeutic things. But when you look at it from a human, from a spiritual, you say, what is perfect about what was occurring for these people here at this moment? And you look for how the perfection is revealed, and how can we look at this and shift our view to a point where we might be willing to accept that there might be a certain kind of perfection in this whole situation. So that is, you know, you look what is created and you try to keep judgment out of it, and you're willing to go for that in the situation. So that is really called a turnaround. So I began to look at it in that light, in saying, you know, that basically a human experience in the sensory world or the physical form came together with the world of divine truth, which is the multisensual, sensory, spiritual realm. And these two worlds really collided. And then you look at the composite chart and you go, oh my gosh, because the odds of the ascendant and midheaven coming out on a third chart, besides the one of the Sweat Lodge and the one of his, James Arthur Ray's chart, and then the composite chart has the same ascendant of Aquarius. And it also has Chiron, which is a planet I work with in Aquarius there. So, and it's alone in the composite chart, which means there is a key that happened in this situation that is not yet seen. There is some kind of key that of course, these people, in some way before they even got here to this incarnation, we are spiritual beings in a human experience. Their spiritual experience, their soul experience, and their spiritual experience came together in such a clash there that I think that some of them just stayed in the spiritual experience, which is really hard for human beings to, in many ways, accept. But when you look at the composite chart, you see Pluto in Scorpio, Saturn in Scorpio, Mercury in Scorpio, Sun in Scorpio, Venus in Scorpio, and the midheaven in Scorpio. That is the ninth house, and the gestation point is in Libra, exactly like the other two charts. Now, the gestation point in Libra absolutely means balancing our relationship with another person's relationship. But when it's on the ninth house cusp, it's a balance between this world and the spiritual world. And because Libra has a little bubble on the top of it, it's called, I call it in the gloaming. And gloaming means, I don't know if Christopher Reeves made a movie, I think he called it in the gloaming, about his experience with when he had his accident. And gloaming means when it's when it's sunset, when the sun kisses the earth. So it's supposed to be the highest form of spirituality in the day, and that's when the monks and they go to the beach and they stand and they do their meditations because of the sun kissing the earth, which I really love. And the little bubble on the top of the Libra, it's made with a slash in the bottom and a line with a bubble in the middle. That is the sun coming down to touch the earth. So that's the gestation point. And this happened, you know, it was early evening. It was 3 o'clock. It was not, you know, exactly, but it was, but till the thing happened, it was moving toward that time of the day. And then Pluto is at 1 degree in Scorpio in the composite chart, which means that's its own sign. And plutonically, that is so powerful for a transformation, transmutation, somebody leaving their body, going into a spiritual world. And then Saturn in Scorpio is also, Saturn is the teacher. Where it comes down in a chart, it means that a person is going to have really hard lessons. And James Arthur Ray has Saturn between his sun and moon. So we all know that he didn't premeditate this, or this was not something that he expected to happen. But his words on tweet were that day, the spiritual warrior has conquered death and therefore has no enemies and no fear in this life or the next. Therefore, that is the Mercury in Scorpio. That is almost it. It's something that you could put as a definition beside Mercury in Scorpio. And he insisted inside, if you don't see this to a conclusion, then you're a failure, which were, you know, his words coming from him, meaning that's how he was experiencing it. And I think that he got carried away with the process and forgot the people, actually. And then when he came out afterwards, he went into what I call chapter two, which is blaming other people. He said people who thought they could push further than they could and their bodies gave out on them. So therefore he came out from what he said on tweet and before he went in and said just the opposite when he came out. But in many ways, the Scorpio thing, and then the sun is in Scorpio in this chart, it means the transformation of him too, which is, you know, grief. We all get, when we come into a grieving spot, his grief is so great because grief takes you to the perimeter of things you don't want to look at. So he really has to look now at anger and rage and hunting for compassion in this situation and finding forgiveness for self. And it's testing every one of these family. And that's what Scorpio does. And what is their compassion and where is their forgiveness point? And how they can come to forgiveness. I, just before the show, watched a man that's on death row. And I watched, there were three children in the house. And he killed his wife and his brother-in-law and his wife. And the children he didn't hurt. But I watched a 13-year-old sit on this sofa, and she was saying, and I guess she's older than that now, but she was saying that she had come to forgiveness, and she didn't want him to have the death penalty. And I thought, my God, if these children can do that, where are we? You know, where are we? And I think that is part of the test that this composite chart shows. Definitely when it's in the ninth house, it's a spiritual death. Definitely with Jupiter and Neptune, they were taken directly over. Definitely with Jupiter and Neptune meaning the other world, Jupiter is basically a direct way out. It's interesting because Michael Jackson, that James Arthur Ray has a Jupiter in Libra and Neptune in Scorpio, and his gestation point is 23. And Michael Jackson has a Jupiter in Libra and Neptune in Scorpio. His is in the first house. And so we say, what is alike here? What is alike here is they that James Arthur Ray didn't die, but the, you know, the Neptune Jupiter is in the sweat lodge. It went around, did it come around to that spot? And so the people did in some way make their transition right out. Now, to make a, to do another example of that, Patrick Swayze has Saturn Neptune. So his preparation or whatever you want to call it to go to the other side, and his there was a major resistance to it, a major resistance. So that's how you read his aspects, because he had Saturn in Libra and Neptune in Libra. He was in some ways, and that's in his first house. So he in some ways, where Michael Jackson's Jupiter Neptune in the first house made it an easier gate to go to the other side. Then, and it's interesting because Patrick Swayze, he chose to do the television series The Beast when he was suffering from cancer, which was a really hardcore criminal kind of show where he was a really hard cop, where Michael Jackson chose to do this beautiful show that he's left us, even though Patrick Swayze was also a dancer. Magnificent one. He's had a lot of trouble in his career in dancing. He broke his leg. They were going to take his leg off, Patrick Swayze. There was a lot of trouble that he had in his dancing career, where Michael Jackson, Jupiter Neptune, was a free-flowing, almost free-flowing dancer that brought a new style into the theater. And Jupiter Neptune, in seeing This Is It, the movie, which I took my grandson to see, it's like the audience never sees rehearsals. When you know, being in the theater, the professional theater all my life, it's like theater rehearsals are almost better than the show. And here you got to see what a craftsman Michael Jackson was. He was unbelievable in that he was into the lighting. He was into the auditory sound. He was into the technique. When somebody said, when a cue was to come up, he said, don't do that cue. I will call the cue. And then Kenny Ortega says to him, but you can't see behind you. And Michael Jackson said, I can feel it. I can feel what's going on behind me. And it was so marvelous to see Michael Jackson finally in his realm of Jupiter Neptune, which is total, just total entertainment. And this was rehearsal. I don't even know what the show would be like because he was marking things. That's what we call it in theater. He was not even fully out performing, and it was magnificent. There were 20-year-old dancers on the stage that were wearing out in rehearsals, and he was still going till 2 o'clock in the morning. So that is Michael Jackson also had a yod in his chart. Patrick Swayze had a yod in his chart, a finger of God. This sweat lodge had a triple yod in the chart, which means there is something here, and also a kite, which is something here that was you have the whole thing up in heaven or wherever it is, heaven or whatever the energy is, where people make contracts, I truly believe. The contract sometime is shown in the chart, which in the United States of America, a lot of people don't look at astrology, but the contract is somehow, and I think if you would get Kirby Ann Brown's chart and some of these other people's charts, you would see, if you do a multitude of charts and lay them all out, you would see the contracts of all these people in relationship to the sweat lodge. And that's how great astrology is in showing you what indeed was the lesson in all of this. Now, when we get out of the grief and the pain, and we have to really realize that this was an Angel Valley Retreat Center, and this man I happen to be very close to that runs that, and he created this whole environment. He's into the Archangel Michael. So he created this whole environment around that archetype. So if you're going to choose to make a transition anywhere, that probably is the place to do it.
Well, don't forget, it's Sedona, New Mexico, which is one of the highest places, you know, a power point in the United States.
Yeah, so if you get past, you know, a lot of times, are you going to wait for the storm to pass? Are you going to learn to dance in the rain? That's what I always say.
I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah, because the other one is you believe that what God has placed inside you is superior to the mountain that stands in the way. So I guess that James Arthur Ray, he has a lot of support. It was Proctor, and I guess you know him, Kate, right?
Yeah, so does Joan.
Joan.
Is, yeah.
Well,
I don't know him personally, but I know who it is.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know him personally.
Like,
but he
like
was.
Him.
Well, he was the one that told James Arthur Ray to stop. That's what I heard.
Oh.
He's the one that said he was going on with his retreats, and he said, just stop. This is a point where you just need to go somewhere and meditate and really, because, you know, in some ways, I think that James Arthur Ray is in denial. I mean, it's just so tremendous to take in.
Yeah.
It's just so enormous, you know, this whole thing. But again, his chart, you know, with the four planets, and somebody asked me, maybe it was you, Kate, I don't know, somebody asked me, would you have told them to go in or to stay out of the sweat lodge, you know? And certainly, and the other thing is that he was warned by the Indians that he did not know how to run a sweat lodge. I found that out.
Mm-hmm.
That there are different kinds of things, and that after each round, the flaps should have been open in some way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there should have been the oxygen, because the one man, I don't forget what his name is. I think it was Richard Wright. He walked out twice. He got out twice. He went out and got oxygen. So evidently he did get past him and get out. And he said there was a lack of oxygen. And you never put more than 50 people in something like that. So the point is when you are a leader, and, you know, it's interesting because I'm not going to say their names, but I've been with, Anna won't care. I've been with Anna Helpern, who is the biggest processor. I think she is the founder of processing in America. She works in Mount Tamalpais, and she is just incredible with processing. You do giant drawings, and you work things out. But you know, the one thing is never let the process get over the human. Always think of the human being in the process, and never let them go too far. I mean, you have to be responsible for that. So, no, I would not have told them not to go in. I would have pulled him aside and said, "You have choices here."
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he didn't have enough information to make the choice. And that happens sometimes with Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have enough information. It happens to all of us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, fake it till you make it's a good saying. But don't be dangerous about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Certainly we have to question who we choose to be our leaders.
Yeah, that's,
right.
I think that's one of the main lessons in it. Is
the
other thing that I kept telling Kate Kate and I were talking about it,
mm-hmm.
is that as we are on a spiritual search or whatever,
yeah.
I think we have to be not only careful of who we're listening to, but who we're hanging out with.
Right.
You know, I told Kate, I said, now if I start doing something kind of stupid, I'm counting on you telling me so.
Well, especially if you're a leader.
Right. You know, tell me if I'm getting so far out that it's not, that it doesn't feel right to you, you know.
That's
pull
definitely
me out of that sweat house, yeah.
Well,
the problem though is with James Arthur Ray is if you would have told him, he wouldn't have listened.
No,
he wouldn't have heard it. He can't hear.
He wouldn't
it
have
from
heard.
There.
Yeah,
he can't hear it from there because he was on a path that he felt was right.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually in the Indian tradition, the sweat lodge is first and the vision quest is second. It's the other way around. You don't do the vision quest and then the sweat lodge because you're dehydrated. You do the sweat lodge and then you do the vision quest.
So there was a problem right there.
Yeah, it was turned around.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to what Joan is saying, you know, in being in the field of dance in my life, dancing teachers do not have to have certificates or anything. Yet they are fooling around with uteruses. If you put a child on pointe shoes before the age of 10, they can be ruined to have children for the rest of their life. If you fool around with their feet, turning them out too far, that you can permanently hurt them. Yet we still in the United States of America do not need any kind of certificate to teach dance. These leaders really don't have any certificates in processing. Emotional processing. I was in a certified course for it. You have to learn, and it's a lot to do with the theatrical process that you learn in theater in New York. That if you are going into an improvisation, or if you're going into a character, there has to be a linear part of your brain that stays out, and that is the part that keeps you in your human body. Now, if somebody does not know how to do that, and they're in a process, which Kirby obviously didn't know how to do, and these people, they went completely in, with no one to bring them out. And that is very, very dangerous. There are usually helpers or people beside the certified person that's running the program, that if a person goes in too deep, they go and shake them and pull them out. And I've had it done. Anna Halperin walked right over to me, and they had two people checking me to see if I was breathing okay, to see that I didn't faint, to see that everything was fine. And then she realized I was just in a threshold. See, he's talking about a threshold, but we're not talking about a physical threshold. We're talking about an emotional threshold. They're different thresholds. If you're in a physical threshold and you're in danger physically, then you pull somebody out. You don't not. She should have been taken out. And so there.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and you're putting the right words around it.
Well, you put good words around it, Joan.
No, I mumble a lot.
No, you do not.
But yes, and I love hearing you say it technically. But, yeah, you know, keep me, it's the Lord keep me grounded kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't
the Lord keep me breathing. Funny.
Yeah, keep me breathing, right.
Yeah, you know, because without oxygen, you're not going to, you know, live.
And Michael Jackson's doctor wasn't checking in on him very well either, speaking of such things.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's doctor was not.
Go on. He didn't make sure that he had oxygen. Gosh.
No, and there you're dealing with a star. And you got to watch it because, you know, they have enough money and enough clout that if it wasn't this doctor, it would have been another one.
Oh, yes.
So, and when there is the responsibility of Michael Jackson to make sure that the doctor never left the room, because obviously he left the room for more time than he said he was. I didn't see, actually, watching the whole movie, and you're really watching to see any kind of thing that looks like, I mean, I've been in, I mean, you know, Kate, I've been in a million rehearsals in my life, and if somebody is on something, you know it.
Yeah.
I mean, if a dancer or an actor is on something, I mean, it's instant that you know them. You're around them every day, and you're rehearsing all that, and you know it. And he absolutely 100% looked clean.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, he absolutely 100% looked clean. So I think he was clean, and then he did this, that he was so hyped in the Jupiter-Neptune creative process, and I've been there. I mean, I have been there. You're rehearsing all night. You're so excited about ideas. You're going crazy. You're thinking of new ideas, especially when you're choreographing and directing. I mean, when I was in summer stock, I didn't sleep. I got 2 hours of sleep a night when I worked summer stock, you know, because I was choreographing and directing and was in it. And you're just going and going and going, and your body can't, you're running on Neptune energy, which is spiritual energy, creative energy, and then he needed to rest. I mean, you get that if you're, he needed to rest, and he was almost radical about getting some kind of rest, so he went to the most outlandish drug, you know, this propofol or whatever you call it. I hate to even say it. But he was ready to go. I mean, we have to say that somehow he was ready to step over. He had done enough. And it's just, there's big celebration probably in the other realm, but there is big grief here, you know, for losing these people. Because obviously, you know, these people were, you know, great entertainers and great artists and great people, all of them. So.
Well, you were saying in the beginning of what you were taught when we first started to talk about Uranian astrology and the that there's a certain type of perfection that's involved with anything at all, really.
Yeah.
And instead of, it just reminded me that we tend to just automatically get into a little bit of blame or, you know,
we're
anger.
Human.
Yeah, we're human.
Yes.
But this whole idea, you know, everybody is kind of pissed off about James Arthur Ray. I know this is a radio show, but people are really mad.
Pissed off, okay. I call it being in pissosity.
Say it again. What did you say?
Oh, I say I'm in pissosity over that.
I love
that. Yeah. I mean, you look over the internet, and whenever it's brought up, people just have a knee-jerk, you know, reaction about him, and that he's a total jerk. You know what I mean?
I think when you have a knee-jerk reaction, you know, there is nothing in our, and what we focus in on is what we're most afraid of in ourselves sometimes.
I know.
Everybody is afraid of abusing power. Deep down within them, they're afraid of abusing power. And this was an abuse of power. And that's Pluto. That's plutonic energy. Are you going to get power with somebody or power over them? And he got carried away with the magic of power over. And everybody that then is experiencing and looking at it, is especially in the spiritual community, goes, oh, God, there by the grace of God go I. How many times have I gone over the line? You know, this could have happened to me. And in that way, it keeps it, they get more responsible. That's a gift there.
Sure.
They're going, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, I better, you know, I shouldn't have done what I did. I shouldn't have, you know. But I found in doing Anna's chart, because I did her chart, and the other processors that I worked with, the leaders I worked with, I have run all their charts because I've worked with them in an astrological way. And they all have stelliums. They all have these stelliums. And a stellium in astrology is when you have four or five planets at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
He had a stellium in Sagittarius. Okay, he had the Sun, Saturn, Moon, and Mercury all in the same sign. The other one I looked at had five planets in Virgo and another planet. And mostly when you have stelliums like that, more times than not, there's a yod to it. You know, there's a pointer to it. So it's like when you have a stellium in your chart, it's a distinct thing that you come in to do. It's almost you get blinded by it. I mean, you're so on to that point. And when you get into a certain place, you are completely blind, which is where he got.
Right.
When you're completely into it.
Well, so the greed, you know, that's another thing that people are accusing him of is unmitigated greed. So,
I'm going to be honest with you. At that moment in time, in that situation, I don't think greed was in there. This was supposed to be a cherry on the cake. He was doing this as a special thing, as a surprise for them. So
the problem, though, is that he charged $10,000.
I know what you're saying, Kate. He charged
the
$10,000, but at the end of it, you pay money for these things, but then when you're actually in the experience, and I'm going to say you have to be fairly well off to pay 10 grand to do this, okay?
It probably means nothing to them anyway.
It's probably like, you know, $10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, the people I was in, they were lawyers and doctors, and the cash was nothing. I mean, so, you know, to the ordinary human being in this planet, especially right now in the recession, $10,000 is enormous. It's
yeah.
like big. And then, I mean, if you multiply that by 60-some people, look at what you got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's a good 5 days' work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just seems a little bit.
Yeah,
seems
and
to
so.
Me so maybe to them it doesn't mean anything. But
yeah.
They've gotten so removed from reality that the fact that $10,000 times 50 means nothing to them is questionable.
Well, when you think, though, that when they were that far in, money is not there. I mean, I don't, you know, I know what you mean, but I mean, greed didn't take them into the sweat lodge. I think the man was really trying to do something wonderful.
What was he trying to do?
Well, he was trying to push them. Did you want to say something, Joan? I thought, Joan?
I lost my train. Keep going.
I heard you. Well, I did. I think that he was trying to give them the super experience, Kate. I think he was trying to take them to death's doorstep and say it's safe.
And that would make him
even more of a god. You don't know this, but 4 years before that, he had an incident in the sweat lodge there.
Mm-mm.
That somebody, they had to bring the medics and everything. That person didn't die, but there was another experience there. So, you know, God always gives you a hint.
Yeah, that's a red flag for you.
Yeah, always gives you a hint. I'm giving you a hint. Learn more about this before you do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a hint. But, you know, I'm saying that these people were in such a Jupiter, and, you know, Jupiter-Neptune was in the chart, and Jupiter-Neptune was on the ascendant, and Jupiter-Neptune was in his chart, and Jupiter-Neptune. So think about yourself in a high process where you're dancing all night or something out in Africa, and you're dancing on hot coals, and you're singing, and you can even dance through broken glass, and you can do anything, and you think you are superior to the human experience. That's where they were, okay? That's a metaphor.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a metaphor for where they were. And so they weren't afraid of life or death there. They were in too much of this high, like the middle of the night African experience. And so that's you know, you're out of your body. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like what you just said about they thought they were superior to the human experience. That
yeah.
is a fascinating way to say it.
Well, that's true. And I can name times in my life, and I'm sure you can, and so can you, Joan, right?
Sure. Sure.
When you're having an amazing spiritual experience and you feel like you're one, but you can only stay there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come back, you come out of it, and then you mourn it when you come out of it. I have, you know, you mourn when you come out of it. But these people, this was extended. This is coming from a 36-hour vision quest into a 3-hour sweat lodge or 2-hour sweat lodge. I mean, this is an extended thing of a Jupiter-Neptune thing, and Jupiter makes everything bigger. And if a Sagittarius is running it, which is what he is, Jupiter rules his sign. I mean, that's the actor that rules his sign.
Well, sounds like they were in an ecstatic state.
Yeah.
And not suffering, really.
Well, yeah, you got it. But I think that some people like this man that walked out, and some people, it snapped them back
mm-hmm.
and saved their life when people started foaming at the mouth and all of this. You know, things can snap you out of it. And
yeah,
I think
that would snap me out of it, boy.
Well, you would if he told you, Kate, not to go near somebody on the floor like that, you would not listen, see?
No, I wouldn't listen to a word he ever said, that's for sure.
Well, now, Kate, okay, I know. We're putting you in the experience, and we're acting like you did listen to every word he said, okay? I think
okay.
that I mean, if you, I'm talking about if you were in that experience, putting you in that experience, you.
Well, obviously, anybody who went and got involved were listening to this man. They listened to him, they believed him, and they trusted him.
Well, you know, even the mother of Kirby, when she was on television, said that when she went to one of his seminars, and he's very charismatic, he draws you in. She said it on the Larry King Show. She said, she said he is a good seller of what he sells. But, you know, what he's selling is intellectual. This was an actual physical process. They're two different things. A speaker, you know, being in the actual experience is totally different, you know? You know, I always go, tell me about it and I'll forget it. Show me and I might remember it. But involve me and I'll really get it. And these people were involved physically. So it was not just him on the stage talking to people and people getting inspired. This was not it. They were in a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual thing. They were on all levels of representation in there.
And they probably thought that he was their guru.
Well, they didn't think it. He was. I mean, he was running the uterus. I mean, I think he got his metaphors mixed up. He should have been the Holy Mother, not God, and not Jesus Christ or God there. There's a little bit of a mixture of metaphors, right?
Yeah.
That was a joke.
I know.
Well, you know, the whole idea of the, when you say the uterus, I mean, the whole sweat lodge thing is going into the womb, and there is an initiation thing, and the American Indians don't necessarily approve of charging $10,000 to go into the mother's womb.
Well, that's also, they didn't exactly charge $10,000 for the sweat lodge because these people didn't even know they were getting a sweat lodge. They had arduous days before that. I mean, I was with a woman that walked the trails with the man that runs the thing.
Yeah.
And she said it, and two people that I know did that. And it's really hard there. Okay. You know what I'm doing? I'm running out. My phone is going. I don't know. Do you hear that?
I hear it.
Do you want to call on the landline?
Yeah, I'll call. I'm on the landline. I'm going to call on the cell phone.
Okay, good.
Sounds all right. Good. Talk amongst you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's great.
Yeah, it is great. It's interesting because even though I still don't understand the astrology part of it, but there has to be, when people get that into, and what's the man's name in my mind that did the lemonade? Help me here.
Who did the lemonade?
You know, that with all the people died.
My God, James Jones, the Jones dude.
Yeah. That's what But the same thing. I mean, those people were following what he told them to do. And I think any time that you become a spiritual leader. Now, here we go again. Anybody who becomes a spiritual leader then has a battle on their hands because the human part of us, the ego takes over. So
right.
There's a real place in there where you have to maintain the balance and stay grounded. It's a place where you need a buddy to, and y'all were saying that you know, his friend said, you know, it's time for you to settle down a little bit. But you need those people in your life that'll keep you with your feet on the ground. Or you get carried away with your own power. Something like that. You get carried away with your own influence. And the intention of the people who went, in both cases, whatever all these things are, the intention is always honorable. I think his intentions were honorable. I think the people who were attending were seeking some kind of spiritual awakening. You know, there just wasn't any grounding in it.
That's right. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
We were just Sheila. We were just talking about Jones, the that guy who put I guess, some sort of poison in the Kool-Aid, and everybody died.
James Jones.
James Jones. I said iguana, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was 900 and almost 1,000 people died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
It's the same kind of thing, is it not?
Oh yes. Oh yes. But he had them. He had them for years. I mean, they really were. They really were brainwashed there.
But they thought they were doing the right thing, and that's my point. Is that the people who were participating thought they were doing something wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
You know. They thought they were doing a spiritual search that was going to improve their lives.
Yeah, so did Hitler.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Hitler had the highest form. He studied charts and he studied spirituality. And, I mean, if you ever read some of the books, that high cadence marching, the sound, he was doing everything to brainwash physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
do you think?
Huh?
Did he know
that? That was a process that they were studying how to brainwash, and he was into metaphysics enormously and using it the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of times people start out like, I'm not sure about Hitler, but other like James Jones and Arthur Ray, they start out with a sort of a, you know, simplicity and they seem like good people, and then they become deranged in some way.
Well, the ego
I remember,
in there.
And I know somebody who knew somebody who met Hitler, and he said that Hitler was the most you met him and he didn't make any impression on you. But years and years ago, say like in 1930, even 1925, he just didn't have any kind of charisma whatsoever to make this person think that he became what he became. He was like in shock.
Yep. He was also a Taurus. A bullhead.
Bullhead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when whatever sign you're in, when you get to be a fanatic, you have just completely, you've completely gone into some place where people can't reach you. Just like the guy at Fort Hood, God knows what was going on with him. I mean, but to think basically that he was a psychiatrist, that scares you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really kind of frightening.
You can't recognize it in yourself.
No, and that's what a lot of shrinks go into the field. I'm going to get it for this. A lot of shrinks go into the field because they don't want to handle their own problems. So they bring people in, and there's an enormous number of suicide in the therapeutic field because they don't get to their own stuff. And, you know, if you are working with people, every single person that comes into you or every client, you have to say, okay, what is this that I have to learn here? You always have to be a student of what the person is. You can't go, I'm going to fix them, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, you know, all of those things about wanting to fix somebody. There usually is a perfection in the situation of learning something.
That you have
not cleaned up, and you go, what part of me has drawn this into my picture? You know, some weeks when I'm not working a lot, I go, gee, I must be clear this week. Well, you know, it really is, you know, because that whatever you bring into your field, and then I have this saying of, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. But basically, when you're saying that, if there's a charge somewhere inside of me, then it is my business.
Yeah.
You know, if indeed what they're saying or what they're saying to you, if some part of it is making sense to you, then it is your business.
And, you know, then the other one is, you know, what I think is not always right. You always have to dig in deeper and explore, because the minute you think you're right, you're done. Right and wrong, then there's no exploration. You know, there's no exploring. And that's why I think Barack is an explorer, Barack Obama, in some ways. Not saying he should be president, not saying he should, but there's one thing about him is that he is curious. That's in his thing, the curiosity. I never felt that Bush was curious, you know, but he explored. I think Clinton explores. And, I think that Clinton is into this whole thing about making it a better world now that he's out of office. So now I'm political. I'll be quiet.
Speaking of, just one thing.
Tony's laughing at me. What?
I need to ask you this, since you are an astrologer. Nancy Reagan really helped her husband with seeking astrological counsel. I always said that.
Well, I was with her at a convention, the woman that worked with Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
And when we did the World Conference, I did the choreography and everything for the World Conference, and she was there, and they were all in the show that I was doing. It was fun. And Mike Luton and I were doing, so it was funny. But Nancy Reagan saved his life. She showed me those charts, man.
She figured out where he needed to make strategic decisions, and he did. He listened to her. About Ronald Reagan, I should say Nancy Reagan, orchestrated the whole White House thing. I mean, all of his major decisions based on astrology.
Yep. Yes.
So.
And really got heat for it.
As far as I'm concerned, I thought it was the most brilliant thing that they ever did, either one of them.
Well, she said she didn't care if she got heat for as long as it saved his life, she didn't care. And we don't know about the many times before that should they avoided things that saved his life.
Yeah, I mean, you know what my mother thought. You know what Kitty, my mother, thought of Ronald Reagan, but nevertheless, what they did...
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing.
Yes, I know what Kitty Loving-Shank thought of Ronald Reagan.
Okay. It's the funniest thing in the world, really. I just got a kick out of that. But
she was the greatest person. The greatest person. Okay. Just great. Just like you, Kate. Okay. Every once in a while, it's a little frightening.
Well, she was
the way you turn your head, or the way you look, or the way you put a sentence together, I go, oh my God, you know, it just flips you back to being with her. It's really interesting.
Well, it's a compliment coming from you, but you know, my aunts
were
really thrilled by my mother. I don't know why, but so when they say to me, oh, when I'm with you, I feel like I was just with Kitty, I'm not so sure that was a compliment. But from you, I know it is. So I'm happy.
Now you're making an assumption there and taking it personally. You should say next thing is, what do you mean?
Well.
Maybe you don't want to know.
I do not want to know.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to know. You know?
I don't.
It might be good.
Well,
it might be good.
It might have been very rich, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I must tell this story that
okay.
Joan, you always say to me that you have a hard time with the astrological language. But
yeah.
One time, I would go visit my mom, you know, when I had grown up and everything. And Sheila she called Sheila Mary Sheila this, Mary Sheila, Mary Sheila, Mary Sheila. So
Mary Sheila, Sheila, honey.
And honey was visiting my mom and talking about astrology a lot. So I'd come in the door and I'd hang out with them and listen to what they were saying. And I have never could understand a word they were saying. But one day it hit me. that I understood, even though it wasn't like I perfectly understood what they were saying, but suddenly, intuitively, I understood what they were saying.
Good.
And it seemed like that stuck with me because, you know, I can't keep the, you know, the planetary and what sign and these configurations because, first of all, I don't study it. But I do get the spiritual stuff of what you're saying, and I think a lot of people do. I mean, you kind of have to – you don't have to understand astrology, really.
That's why I tell people when you work with them for 2.5 hours, you can't possibly remember everything. So I say go back over it 3 times and begin to take notes and begin to get inside the experience. And then you begin to get it because, after all, it is your mandala and it is your chart. Intuitively, it's a symbolic language. And so the symbolism, it awakens the unconscious. That's what it does. It awakens the unconscious, and it awakens a very deep part of you. I've watched it with people. And then they'll call back, and they'll go, man, I got that. Man, that's very interesting. But when I first started studying astrology, I was reading a million books, and it took me a year and a half, or I was getting all this stuff. I was just being hammered with information, and I was at Virginia Beach on the beach, and I had an astrology book in front of me, and the man behind me said, oh, there's the sun, and it's not supposed to be out today. And I turned around, and I said, oh, yes, sir, it is, because everything just came together for me at this moment in time. So the sun is supposed to be out.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
It was like I knew it was a trine, I knew it was square, I knew a conjunction, I knew aspects. It was just all in that moment. Everything just, it was such a beautiful moment. And the sun just came out on the beach. It was really neat. So
I do appreciate that you don't like to interpret things negatively, because that is really what most astrologers do.
Well, it's okay, I think, to begin something in a negative way. But, you know, then you use, and Brian Katie, I love her, you know, you use the whole thing of, is that true? Is it absolutely true? And how do I react when I think that thought, that negative thought? How is it making me feel? Well, it's making me feel awful. So I have to find a way to turn that around. And when you turn it around, you know, I use that whole thing of emergency, you know, E-M-E-R-G-E-N-C-S-E-E. Emerge and really see that this is really teaching you. And that, you know, that is the whole different thing of I created this situation, and I have to forgive myself for criticizing myself for creating it. I can't come down on myself. I have to see the perfection in the situation. And I can see peace instead of this if I choose to. And everything is a story. If you're saying, Kate, I can't understand astrology or all of that, then that's the story. You have just created the story. If you say, I'm going to understand astrology, that's a different story, see?
Yeah.
I mean, even with cancer, when you work with people with cancer, if somebody said, I have cancer, that's an identity. If they change that language to I'm going through cancer, the experience of cancer, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And that means there's two aspects in a chart to everything, to the way you tell the story. And I just prefer to tell it in optimism, because we set up all these perfect situations for us to learn from. And if we don't learn from them, they're so repetitive. Don't you find that, Joan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We will get a lesson again and again until we get it.
Yeah, because that's what's set up in the chart. I mean, you will get it because you came here to learn that and heal that. So the chart in some ways is a shortcut. I mean, it's a shortcut, and then you go, oh, yeah, I went through that at 5, then I went through that at 12, then I went through that at 27, then I went through it again, you know, in a different way, of course.
Saturn stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, it's all the planets. I mean, the Venus, Mercury, Mars, and the Moon, they go around very fast. The Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune are extremely slow, and that's the planets with which this Jupiter Neptune thing, he was playing with the big boys. Because the big boys here were on the ascendant, okay?
Oh, that's true. That's true, yeah.
So
well,
he
only had 10 seconds left on the program. So.
That was
I love you,
too.
I love you.
Oh, okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. We love you very much.
Love right now. Bye.
Bye. I'm going to play some music now.